May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Amen.
I am not a veteran. I have not had the privilege to serve this nation in its armed forces. But my grandfather was a veteran. He was a Marine Corps major, and I'll correct myself right away, he is a Marine Corps major, even though he's retired. As he tells me often, you never cease to be a Marine. So he is a Marine Corps major, and he served in Korea as a fighter pilot. He flew F-4U Corsairs, which are a piston engine fighter plane. And when he wasn't fighting, he served the Marine Corps as a flight instructor. And it was his job to train and to certify new pilots. So growing up as a child, I heard a lot of stories from my grandfather about being in the Marine Corps, about fighting in Korea, about military life in general. And so what strikes me today, on Veterans Day, is how accurate the gospel passage is in portraying life in the service. Today's gospel, we have a centurion who describes himself as a man set under authority, who is himself in authority over others. And I think this is just so apt and accurate to what it's like to be in the military. And so the centurion says, if I say to one of my subordinates, go, or do, or come here, I know for sure that he will go and come and do what I ask him to do. And although he doesn't expound upon it, the centurion can probably say, if my commanding officer told me to go or come or do something, I can guarantee you that I would be doing it. And this is true 2,000 years ago, as it is today. What makes this sort of system of authority, being in authority over some people and being in authority under some people, what makes this system work is trust. Trust that those under us will follow our orders and follow them well, and trust that those over us are making orders wisely, that they're doing so ethically and in the best interests of the nation that they serve. Trust goes in both directions, both up and down. And without trust, military just doesn't work. My grandfather knew this. He told me that he was often very unpopular as a Marine because as a flight instructor, he rejected and disqualified many Marines from becoming pilots. And he did this, he told me, because they were just not up to snuff. In a combat situation, no one would be able to trust them to adequately discharge their orders or to fulfill the mission that had been given to them. They might be qualified as Marines to do many tasks, but they were not qualified and may never be qualified to be pilots. So my grandfather's role in the military was in part to ensure that trust was built into the system. Because of my grandfather, higher-ups could trust that the pilots were good and capable of the missions that they were given them. And the soldiers on the ground could trust the pilots would give them air cover in a combat situation. And I think most importantly, the pilots could trust one another, that they were equally trained and equally capable, and that they would have each other's backs when they needed it. So in reading this gospel passage, it got me thinking, not just about my grandfather, but about trust. There are actually two types of trust. The first type, which is a trust I think that we're all sort of familiar with, is the type of trust that my grandfather helped to engender. It's a trust that happens because someone else has vetted and determined that another is worthy of our trust. We trust our Marine Corps pilots because someone like my grandfather evaluated them and vetted them and put them through their paces and determined, yes, that they are capable and we can trust them to be our pilots. We trust our doctors because they went to medical school and because they are certified by a board of practicing physicians that they are capable and that we can trust them to treat us. We trust our ministers because we went to seminary and because countless committees have said, yes, we are good people and we are capable of ministering with you and serving with you. And there's a whole host of people that we trust. We trust bankers and firefighters and school teachers. We trust the CPR-trained lifeguard down at the beach, all because someone else has vetted them and said, yes, they are capable and you can trust them. Even the centurion in today's gospel has been vetted in a certain way. Centurions, remember, are part of the Roman oppressors, so they're completely untrustworthy. But the Jewish elders say, ah, no, 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 not this guy. This guy's different. He's a friend of the Jews. He likes us. In fact, he even built our synagogue. So you can, Jesus, you can trust him. In fact, he's worthy of you doing this favor for him. That's the first type of trust. And then the second type of trust is the trust that this centurion has in Jesus, which is completely unmerited. The centurion has never met Jesus, wouldn't know him from Adam. The centurion has not been a part of the Jesus movement. He's not a disciple of Jesus. He's not even a Jew. And yet, without knowing Jesus, this centurion calls him Lord. Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. In calling him Lord, this centurion is putting Jesus in a place of authority over him. And he has no reason to do so unless, with the eyes of faith, he has perceived something great, some sort of divine authority and power in this Jewish rabbi. We may live our day-to-day lives working with the first type of trust, that trust that's vetted and measured and earned. But as Christians, we're constantly invited to live into this second type of trust, a trust that's unmerited, unexpected, and marked by the presence of God. There may be, I know there are many stories in the military where that first type of trust is dominant. But for me, stories in military history where that second type of trust is present, those stories are much more interesting to me. You may know that Veterans Day was originally called Armistice Day and commemorated the end of World War I hostilities at 11 a.m. on November 11, 1918. There was another armistice during World War I, and many of us probably know this, 4 years prior on Christmas Day, 1914, when British and German troops came out of their trenches, went into no man's land, and they exchanged presents, they chatted, they played football, and they sang Christmas carols. These were enemies who just days prior were intent on killing each other, and they had no reason to trust one another. Currently, certainly everything that they had been hearing from their authorities, from their commanding officers, were that they should not trust each other. You cannot trust the enemy. This armistice was unauthorized. But these soldiers, for 2 days, over Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, did trust each other. And I believe that there was God present there on the battlefield. A God who said, "These are your brothers. Put down your arms and embrace." A God who said, "Go and come and love and heal each other." Too often we pay attention just to the trust that we humans can understand and evaluate. But there's another voice, there's another authority that calls us all to trust, to love our enemies, and to pray for those who oppress us. So on this Veterans Day, whether you're a veteran or not, I'm going to invite all of us to examine the trust that we give and receive in our day-to-day lives. The trust that others have placed in us to do great and wondrous and mighty things. The trust that we place in others to do those things that we cannot or should not do ourselves. And I think most importantly, what I see as Christian trust, the trust that Jesus Christ is Lord and God of all of us, friend and foe alike, and that healing, God's healing grace, can come unexpectedly in our lives, in the lives of those that we least expect and least have reason to trust. Amen.
At this time, I invite any veterans who are here this morning to please stand.